Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening. Okay. We're going to be talking now about the nails, a bit more about the nails, Hilchas nails. I found it so fascinating how much halach is about cutting nails. It's fascinating. The Shmiras HaGufa Nefesh, which is one of the very interesting stories, there's a sefer called Shmiras HaGufa Nefesh. It's all about how to protect yourself from all dangers. And it's not only physical dangers, it's actually talking a lot about spiritual dangers, things which are also things I can forget, shikha, forgetfulness. What are the common, some of our famous examples? Eating what?
Burnt toast.
Yeah, burnt toast. Food bitten by mice, that's yeah, absolutely. Other examples. Olive, what's that? Inside out clothes. Wet hands, drying them on your clothes. So there's countless of those. So some of them, it's interesting, some of them are much Medina de Gemara. Some of them are really written in the Gemara. And some of them are from early sources, some are from very late sources, and some are completely made up. Totally made up. Really made up. And it's fascinating, and he actually he goes into all of them. It's really interesting. No, not necessarily. Some of them are Medina de Gemara. Some of them are proper Gemaras. Yeah, so we're not meant. So you're right. You're absolutely right. We don't believe it, but some things are also because the Gemara says we don't. They are genuinely dangerous. So it's absolutely yeah. So he actually goes into the. And it's one of the things that he speaks in great detail. It's two volumes. Shmir is a good nefesh. In Eretz Yisrael. At times, I've called him up in the past just to make sure that I know that to investigate things that are takanot, not osum shum shikhem. So sometimes I forgot to call him though. Yeah. So Rabbi said, we're now going to be talking more about this. So the nails, that's what we're holding now. So we said that you should cut the nails before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. Now, the Gemara then goes now into, Gemara goes into hair. But before we continue in the Gemara, I just want to complete the Mishnah Berurah that we started yesterday, which is if cotton vav. We started speaking about cutting. Do you remember we spoke about cutting on Thursday? And we explained what the real meaning of that is. The Mishnah Berurah continues. I'm now in Sifkot and Vav. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. And then he says, "Ein lokutz elo be'erev Shabbos or be'erev Yom Tov." You should cut on Friday or Thursday, or Friday or Erev Yom Tov. "Va'anochen shokutz min ha'aglam b'yom chamishi." You should cut the toenails on Thursday, min ha'adayim and hand nails on Friday. He's the Gemara. That's what I wanted to start. The Gemara says, "Hasirev tziponaim chosit." If you burn the cut nails, you are a chosit, a careful person. "Koivon." If you bury them, you are tzaddik, a righteous person. "Zorikon." But if you throw them, rosha, you are rosha. Why? "Shemotaver alein ishemu beres." Sometimes you may be expecting lady walking over it. "Vetapen chas v'sholom." She may miscarry. So the Gemara does say that's the Gemara. That nails are dangerous. It's a corner because an expecting lady, if she walks over it, she might chas v'sholom miscarry. So therefore, the Gemara says that what you should do with the nails, you should either, you should burn it. Second best is to Gemara Loshen is koivon, you should bury it. And what you mustn't do under any circumstances is just throw them on the floor because that's dangerous. Therefore, the whole danger is because of expecting women. So, and therefore, in the besmatrash, normally women won't walk around in the area where men are in a shul. Or alternatively, in a bathhouse, which is only for men, you're allowed to put nails there. It's not a problem. So that's what I mean. So person should. It don't makes no difference. Makes no difference. Shoes make no difference. Yeah.
I would suggest that sometimes in a Beis HaMedrash or the Knesset, when the men aren't there, they have women cleaning ladies that come in.
Yeah.
Normally goyim.
It's interesting as to whether this applies to goyim as well. I do not know. Interesting question. I never thought of that. If that applies to goyim as well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Interesting question. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know the answer to that. Interesting question. Some people were or are very careful to literally burn them. The Chazanish was known that he made every the Chazanish used to literally collect it and burn it once. Pardon? Oh, we'll speak about that in a minute. So the Chazanish was makpid to mamash burn them. Other than also they burn the nails. The question is as to whether nowadays is there any way to fulfill the way that you are called a tzorif, or it's a tzorif that you're called a chosid, or a koivron to bury them, you're considered a tzaddik. So some people want to suggest, Rabbi Yisai, what do you think about flushing down the toilet? What do you think about that? It's considered kvua. You think it's kvua. So many authorities indeed consider flushing down the toilet is called kvura. It's called the same thing as kvura. So the best level is burning, and second best is removing it from the world. And that's the equivalent. It doesn't have to be actually literally bury, but actually if you burn them, if you flush them in the toilet, it's on the same level. Hence, that's what people do. A lot of people do, and it's considered a level of kovron tzaddik. Burn it. Yeah, so yeah, it's also probably also. It's probably not as... maybe. I know there are some people who want to claim that it might be on the level of soiref, because eventually that's what happens. But I'm not convinced that's always the case, that it actually always gets burnt. I'm not sure. So I know that a lot of people are makpid to flush it down the toilet, which is probably more similar to kovron. Yeah.
One is a no miscarriage ladies that's in, one is a no pregnant ladies that's in the house.
Yeah, nevertheless, one should be makpid. You never know who shows up. And you don't know, and you can't ask, and you don't know. So it's no, nobody's...
What's the connection?
I don't know. It's something which I can't explain. What the connection of that is, I do not know. I should probably check up in Shmir Zagufa Nefesh, you might explain it. I have no explanation in it. But it's Medina the Gemara. That is really something which the Gemara does say. Yes, the Gemara is a source.
Yeah, but where is it? The Gemara?
I do not know.
It must be a Pasuk in the Torah.
No, it's not a Pasuk. It's not a Pasuk.
It doesn't make sense to me, I'm sorry. That why
should
the neshama goes out through our nails, and when it comes back into our nails, so it's got the death connected.
Do you hear? A very interesting explanation for Mr. Billing. Can you repeat it? Just to have clarity, I never heard of this.
We go to sleep and the shama leaves through our nails, and when we wake up, it comes back through our nails. So it's got an element of death connected to the nails.
Here.
So when they cut, it's...
Here, here.
What about toenails? It applies to toenails as well?
Ask the expert. Yeah, it probably does. The halachic, there's no difference between toe and hand nails. I don't know. I imagine it's the same. I don't know. I do not know. My guess is as good as yours. Yeah. Well, having said that, let us see the next halacha, because that might help your point. Halacha. The Mishnah continues. Gam Isa Sham beGemara. The Gemara continues. The Ein beKoychon LaHazik. There is no. It doesn't have the power to be mazik. It can only cause harm. Nails can only cause harm. Rak only. Peduchten neflila in the actual place where it fell down, where it dropped. Avol. But Hikanish lu Basa Hachi veShadilu LaAbroi. If it is brushed off, if it's moved away, less lembar, then it doesn't matter. Because of the preach is Simn Reish Mem Aleph, the preach explained that in Simn Reish Mem Aleph, Mikan from here, Tim Chotach Beveisoi, if he cut the nails in his house, Pemokem the Shricha Noshi, if he cut his nails in his house, in a place where there are women present, where there are potentially women, Venofam Yodo, and it just dropped off his hand, Ksas, a little bit, mit Tziporna from his nails, Yechabeit Oisoi, he should, he should broom the floor, or some welcome that particular place, and he should move it from their place for sure with a slam on it, then it doesn't harm anymore. So the Mishmura says, the Gemara says that nails are only dangerous and only cause harm where they actually drop. If they've been removed, then and they're not anymore where they dropped, and somebody steps on them now, then it can't cause any harm. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, there is an interesting continuation over here, which I don't think is so well known. El-Rabbi writes, this is only true if they've been removed and moved out of that particular room. That's a genuine change of place. But if it's still in the same room, then it doesn't count. So, if it happens once, you want to be very careful about the nails, because whatever, you want to be very careful. You don't want to be called a rosher, and you know that, and you cut the nails, and one nail just fell off. It didn't end up in the toilet, and you know it's somewhere on the floor, and you just can't. So and you can't find it. You don't know where it is. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, you can do it. It's a Gemara. Take a broom and see to the floor. I can assume that it's, but the Eli Rabbi now says that just from it being in the same room, if you removed it in the same room, that's not good enough, because if it's still in the same room, then that would still be a problem. You have to ensure that it's you have to make sure that it's out of the room. That's that. So that's what Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah reminds us of a halacha that we learned a few months ago. You need to wash your hands after cutting your nails. As we learned in Siman Dalet. Yeah, so yeah, that's in terms of that. Yeah, Rabbi Yisrael, any thoughts? Any points? Hear that? Is that all common knowledge?
Well, but yeah. Why is the stuff in the room
that'd be dangerous? I don't know. Is Medayik the Gemara? It's that Gemara seems to be saying that Dafka Bim Koimon. It sounds like Bim Koimon. This is Mishnah, the end of Sivkot and Vav. Yeah. Okay. Continue the lochas about cutting nails. V'kshinoitl tziponov, which order do you cut your nails? Every other. Yeah, so he says as follows. When you cut your nails, don't cut them in the regular order, meaning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do not cut them in the regular order. You should start in the left hand. And he says as follows, with similar said, there's a simon in the right order, how you should cut them. The bege bismoiloi, so that means dalet, base, hey, gimel aleph. Again, dalet, base, hey, gimel aleph. The way to remember is that you go inwards and you skip. So you start from here. Is that how you all do it? That's the left hand. And the right hand, he says, Huvidago biyamin. So base, dalet, aleph, gimel, hey. Biyamin from the right hand. The rule is, bidago biyamin. The rule is, so really what the Mefarshim explain is that the underlying point, there's two things. One is that it mustn't be kesidron, it mustn't be in the right order. And that's the essential point. And besides that, there's a suggested advice, what is the correct order? And that is, like this, from the left hand, how does he say, he calls it, dalet beis hey gimel aleph. Dalet beis gimel Dalet base, hey gimel aleph from the left hand, and the right hand starting from the etzba like this. Yeah, it does. So the truth is, again, it doesn't read the essential point is you don't do it in the right order. You skip one. Which other than that's just the recommended approach from the Ramo.
What about people bite their nails? And the problem with that then?
So
if somebody bite, you know, people bite their
nails. Yeah, yeah.
So they'll fall on the floor anyway. But
well, that's a problem, actually. So there's two problems. So people bite their nails. They should, first of all, be careful. Not well, there is no issa, really, of biting nails, but there is an issa of doing it in the right order, whichever way, however you cut.
If you bite your nails, you're doing the same order.
You'd have to do it the same order, yeah. You'd have to do it not in the Kesidon. But you do have to, certainly, you certainly have to, a person who does bite his nails has to be very careful about dropping his nails, equally as anybody else. I don't think it makes a difference the way he cut it in terms of being mazik. Hamem actually remind me that I saw very, very choshva Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who was very, very choshva Talmud Chacham, used to bite his nails. But I remember that I saw him whenever he used to bite the nails, after he took the nail and he put it in a safe place. Because he was worried about it dropping, and it was mazik. So whichever way you cut it, lemaisa, you have to be careful about it not. Well, I think that's quite dangerous. They say so. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now let us see what the Mishnah Berurah adds to this. Sefkotn zayin betarum isparam. We spoke about. Oh, I forgot a few words in the Ramah. Please excuse me. The top of the page. I skipped those few. V'ima yusar ozroisho gdoilo is mitzvah legalchon. If a person has got long hair, v'ima yusar ozroisho, if the hair of his head was long, mitzvah, it's upon him, it's a mitzvah, it's right, legalchon, to cut the hair. So really, legalchon literally means to shave. Yeah. So if a person shaves, that's alternatively, he will be cutting. So the mishbu takedos say legalchon betarum isparam, should cut with however you normally accustomed to cut your hair. That's how you should cut your hair, and the reason for that is batam is kedei shaloi yichnois leShabbos k'shemenuvel. You should not enter Shabbos k'shemenuvel. Some people will make a point of always cutting the hair on Fridays to cover Shabbos. If you cut your hair, you cut your hair on Shabbos. But here there is no halacha mentioned that you should avoid doing it on Thursday. We spoke about that yesterday. Yesh mekoymos shein megalchon. Megalchon is places that people are makbet. Ve'enoitlin tziponayim. They are makbet not to cut the hair, not to cut nails. Perosh chodesh, onosh chodesh. Hafilu chal b'yom erev Shabbos chodesh, even if it's on Friday. Ki ken tzivar Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid, because that is the that's the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. Rabbi Chosid famously wrote the tzavah, and in that tzavah, he gave I don't know if it's recommendations or it's Rabbi Yehuda Chosid wrote, and one of the Rishonim, he wrote many points which is beyond Shulchan Aruch, and there is a great dispute. There's various approaches. What exactly is meant with those points in Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid? Some of those points, some people take that none of them will. There's no sources of most of those points in Shas and Poskim. Most of them, some do, but most don't. And the question is exactly what is the. So many of them are Kabbalah and Alpi. So the question exactly, who is he referring to? Is it on everybody to keep the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, or maybe only on his children, the descendants of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid? And if it is meant for everybody, then to what extent? And it's a big question exactly how far does the tzavah of the chosid go? Some take it much further than others. It's a dispute. It's a machlokes amongst the achronim exactly how far to the kibbutz chosid. Happens to me that whether we know, a lot of people take on that it's just for his own family, but the experts who know all about genealogy. And they claim that most of us are now, most Ashkenazi heathen, we are, if not many of us, are descendants of Yehuda Chosid, whether we know it or not, and whether we like it or not. But many of us are descendants of Yehuda Chosid, because of the way it statistically works. You know anything about genealogy? So it works that we, most of us, because we have got four sets of grandparents, grandparents, great grandparents, great great grandparents. So the Cheshbon works out, because it's so many generations back, most of us. Many of us, I think maybe even most of us, of all Ashkenazim, go back to Yehuda Chosid. That's how the Cheshbon works. So if we go according to the, whether we go according to the person that the Yehuda Chosid's words are directed to anyone, or whether we take on that it's just for the descendants, either way, there is much reason for us to take on the Tzavah of Yehuda Chosid. Mishnah Berurah also, after we saw just now, which is interesting, it's an interesting ma'amok, and he does say, like Kain Tzivah, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, he says that he takes on that we have to go with the Tzavah of Yehuda Chosid, at least as far as this Rosh Chodesh is concerned, no haircuts on Rosh Chodesh and no cutting nails on Rosh Chodesh. Not everybody's makbet, because it's only Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, it's not Shulchan Aruch. It's not something which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Poskim. But the ma'aseh at the end of the day, it's a tzavah with the chosin not to cut nails and hair on the chodesh, and it's of particular importance because Mishneh Berurah does mention it over here. Yeah.
I would want to suggest that unless you have a Kabbalah, that you have a direct patrilineal Mesorah.
Why dafka patrilineal?
Because tzavah is, it works through the father. If you have a father who gives a tzavah for his children, and then
it's probably also directed to his daughters.
And his daughters marry other people, then they're not included
any
longer in that tzavah, because their children won't be
going
to
the patrilineal. Yeah.
In terms of
an I don't remember the nusach of the tzavah, because I don't remember it. I did know at one point, I forgot, that whether it does seem to indicate that it means children and grandchildren. If I'm not mistaken, his strong argument that it's also directed to his daughters. But I don't remember the Lashon. But there's some fascinating things in there. Some really fascinating. Siblings not living in the same house. Have you heard about this? It's very new again. It's well. Siblings not living in the same city. A certain amount of siblings not living in the same city. Yeah. And have you heard about all those things? There's many of them. It's very interesting. Some certain Kabbalahs leaving in one place, going out in another place. Certain Kabbalahs about traveling on the day. There's loads. There's loads of siblings. I hear what he's saying. So again, there is some. So Rabbi Yehuda Chosid is one of the Rishonim, and a lot of the takonas and things that he said, he's not. We can't understand. One of the things is about not blocking windows. You mustn't block windows. Must block doors.
Tuesday was a mother of Tark in German. Tuesday's mother of Tark, which is a good day to do things.
Yeah, so these things have to be investigated. A lot of those things have no makor, and then you have to take it with some reservation. If there is a genuine makor from one of the Rishonim, they will look at it very differently. One of the very great Torah giant who said things that we don't necessarily understand. Yeah, I think. Yeah, so the. Mishneh Berurah Sifkot and Ches says about the Kesidah and about the order of the nails. V'tashpetz kosav shemaram lo diktik b'zeh. The Tashpetz, which is one of the Rishonim, who wrote that the Maram was not careful about the order of the nails. He wasn't careful. Chen kosav al Ari, the Ari was not makpit. Is that what you mentioned, Rabbi Feingold? That the Ari was not makpit. There was no makpit, yeah. Because Mokim Yesh Lo Yizal Echatchem, Mishneh Berurah does say one should be makpit. There is a discussion about toenails, if you have to be makpit as well or not. Do you have to be makpit about toenails as well or not? So many take on that you do. You do have to be makpit about toenails. The Chaznish was not makpit about. Chaznish was not makpit. But a lot of people say you should be makpit about toenails as well. Generally,
yeah.
About dvorim nagim shikriya, but only if there's makor in Chazal.
Yeah, if the Chaznish was makpit, then I suppose many of us would feel that we usually follow in the Chaznish.
Yeah, nobody. Chaznish was not makpit. Many are. You're saying that Chaznish is a good reason to be makel. You're right. Absolutely, yeah. But if a person was always makpit until now, it shouldn't change because of that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's very hard. It's very, very hard it's very hard to ever to discuss or to be making or machmir with these kinds of halachas. Because it's very hard to, because without knowing the rationale behind it, without knowing or without having a full understanding of what the concepts behind it is, it's very hard to know, does it only apply in this specific, is it only the hands, or does the same apply to toes as well? It's very hard to know, because once we had a Chazal, or we had a Gemara, or a Rishonim explaining us what the rule behind it is, we could discuss, we could think about it, we could explore various approaches, but since it's so remote, so distant from our understanding, it's very, very hard. It's very hard to know how to navigate. Very hard. Honestly, a very clear makor, a very clear reason. It's very, very hard to make it a machmir. Okay, Rabbi said, we discussed tonight a little bit more about the nails. We spoke about the halacha of hasurev tziponaim chosid, koivron tzadik. We spoke about moving them, that will also relieve, decrease their power, moving them. Eli Rabbah said that's only if it's, and it's only because they, where they drop, where they fall, that's what they're dangerous. If they're elsewhere, that's fine. Eli Rabbah does say it has to be in a different room. We spoke about cutting hair, lichvod Shabbos Kodesh. We spoke about the cutting, let's have been a different order. But the main point being that they don't, you don't do them in the one after the other, not subsequent. We spoke also that one has to wash hands after cutting nails, and we spoke also that that the tashbetz was mekel about cutting in the particular order. We'll see you based tomorrow, based Rashi.